How many of you all are glad to be in the presence of God today? You're just glad to be right here in the presence of God. All right. Pray with me because we got to travel today, all right? We got to travel. I want this to get in you and change your life. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, I want you to think about this for a moment. You have been radically remade. Now, there's a clause there if you're a what? Follower of Christ. Now, if you're not, now here's the way I say it. If you're not yet a follower of Christ, because Jim, I'm on a mission. I hope everybody gets saved. I really do. I don't want anybody at Bowling Green to go to hell. Is that cool? I mean, I just want to be, if this is your first time in church, I just want to be straight up with that. Because sometimes I tell you what, one of the scariest places to come to is a church. There's scary people around here. They pass out bags and want your money. I mean, what are they going to do with it? You know, it's crazy stuff. But I want you to know what we're about here. We're about you being connected to Jesus Christ so that all of your sin can be forgiven. Carter, aren't you glad that God doesn't just forgive us of some of our sin? Because I don't know about y'all, I'd keep the stuff that was messing me up. How many of y'all would keep the stuff that's messing you up? And he forgives us of all of our sin so that we can live a new life. Now, let me be clear. Sound like a president, don't I? Let me be clear. Only Jesus can cause this to happen. But that's where the rub's going to be. You say, well, can I get this if I just do that? No. Jesus. And so I want to pray that Jesus would get so into you, you would start to feel and think like him. How many of you all would say that prayer? Jesus, I want you to get so into me that I would begin to feel and think like you. Is that cool? So we're going to ask God to change our hearts and our what? Because he already has. All right, let's pray together. Lord, I thank you so much, God, that you have been clear today. Lord, I thank you for salvation that's already occurred today. Lord, I thank you for every person that you brought here today. Because every one of them have been uniquely made. You have created them with a purpose, whether it's realized yet or not, it is there. And so, Lord, I pray today, not for self-discovery, but for Christ discovery in the name of Jesus. Amen. Cool deal? How many of y'all realize that part of following Jesus Christ is this? Big word, change. How many of y'all need to change some things? Anybody here need to change some things? Summertime, how many of y'all start thinking about change? How many of y'all have ever gone to that summer wardrobe? You know, it gets warm, you go to get your warm clothes. It was sad this year, very sad this year. Pastor Mark and I had to go to Costa Rica. Well, in Costa Rica in February, you kind of you got to grab your summer kind of clothes, you know what I mean? And I had this blue striped shirt that kind of looked, you know, a little more islandy, you know, a little more in the groove of Costa Rica. We were in between ministry events. I go to the room with Mark, and I put on this shirt, and it had long stripes. But the stripes were illustrating the silhouette that I had developed over the winter. And so I came out, and you all know Pastor Mark, man. He's always a gentleman. You know, he's graceful. He's graceful. God's given him a graceful presence. And I walked out and I said, you think I can preach in this shirt? He said, oh, brother, I believe I'd find another shirt. I believe I'd find another shirt. I said, what's the matter with this shirt? He said, nothing matter with the shirt. He said, but what the shirt's hanging on has changed. So Trish, I said, I better change that back. I was losing shirts. We all need to what? Change some things. Now, remember last week we engaged in this. The rules will not change you. And so I want everybody to ease down because I'm telling you, just don't go there. If you're following Christ, you're going to get a list of rules. I want to tell you why the rules won't change you. Everybody listen carefully today. God is a sovereign God. You know what I mean by that? That means this. God made everything. He's the beginning and the end, and he's in charge. Now, here's what I find quite humorous to me. We got a lot of young people, man. They're kicking up on a great thing. God being sovereign, but then they want to put a bunch of rules to a sovereign God. And I said, y'all don't make a lick of sense. If God is sovereign, he doesn't need my rules and regulations. He needs me in a relationship. Have y'all found out do not does not work? Did y'all like that? Do not does not what? Work. You know how I know? Ten Commandments. Do not, do not, do not. And before they got him off the hill, Pastor Don, what had happened? They did. But God said, let me tell you what. The second covenant, I'm going to engage you, Adam, in a relationship that is heart-changing and mind-changing. How many of y'all have been, is there another relationship that you found that is heart-changing and mind-changing? An earthly relationship. Any of y'all found an earthly relationship that is heart-changing and mind-changing? Anybody found one of those? Come on, throw it out here. Come on. Marriage does. How many of y'all marriage has changed your heart for the better or the worst? How many of y'all found that? Yeah, I mean, marriage is a what? Heart-changing and what? Mind-changing experience. Are there any other heart-changing, mind-changing experiences? Children! Children will change your heart and your what? Any other kind of children change them? Listen to all the grannies in here. Grandchildren. Why are grandchildren better than children? You can give them back. They're not full time, I'm telling you. I watched my father, the way he relates to my son. And my son is in the process of heading toward marriage. And I asked him the other day, yesterday we were together. I said, Pops, you really are inspired by the way that Blake's doing things. And he said, well, there's a big difference between you and Blake at this age. And I said, what is it? He said, he has some sense. And George, you can hear exactly how he said that. I mean, he looked at me. He didn't flinch or anything. He said, Stephen, I prayed a long time that you get some sense. And at this point, you're halfway there. You know, I was like, grandchildren, they get a little what? Little extra special. You know, and here's why. They don't know them all the time. Right? What else is heart-changing, mind-changing? It is this. Our relationship with Christ is designed to change our heart and then our mind. Now, here's two wonderful things that God's created, okay? We have a heart. We can feel. We can have compassion. We engage in relationship. We ought to want to be together, okay? And secondly, we need to praise God for this. Don't ever downplay this. I just get really ill when I hear Christians downplaying this. Who created our intellect? God. Watch this. Use it. I've never found this in Scripture. Blessed are the dumb. I have searched the Scripture. I've never found blessed are the dumb. Blessed are the uninformed. Blessed are those who won't think. Blessed are those who don't make good decisions. I've never seen that. Guess what? God's challenged us to allow our heart, which is made new in Christ, to change the way we think, which allows us to change. Check this out. I don't want anybody to miss this today. It allows you to change your possibilities. How many of y'all need your possibilities traded in for God's possibilities? That's salvation. That's salvation. Watch. Is it possible for you to go to heaven without Christ? Answer that question. That was very no, but it wasn't loud enough no for me. Is it possible for you to end up in heaven without Jesus Christ? No. That's what I want you to know. And some of you are going, well, now I'm pretty good. Well, you're not good enough to get there. Your heart is not the heart of heaven. I'll show you. Your heart will glorify who first? Hear how I said it? You're right, Nathan. If I'm left, listen, y'all wouldn't want to hear Steve Ayers. If it was just pure Steve Ayers, I'm going to tell you what I want you to hear so I get something out of it. In Jesus Christ, I don't care what I get out of it. I hope you get Christ. See the difference? I do have an agenda. I'd like you to be saved. Why? So you can end up in heaven. This week I had the Reverend Ward with me. We were on a ministry call, and it was a very difficult call, health issue. And we walked out of a beautiful family's house, and I looked at him. I said, Rev, let me tell you something. The reason I stay with Jesus Christ, preach crucified and resurrected, because at the time of death, I can't think of anything else that matters. Can you all? I told men's ministry the other day, we were teaching, and I said, you know what? I've never seen a casket with a net worth on the side of it as you pass by. So-and-so had a net worth of. Well, guess what? At the time of death, guess what? It doesn't matter what your net worth is. Guess what you are? Dead, unless you're in Christ. Now, in Christ, everything has changed. Go with me to Colossians 3. That's where we are. Since then. Well, how in the world are we going to live out this life? Well, since then. Let me tell you how we're going to live it out. He who saved you will continue to change you. How many of y'all believe that? He, Jesus, who has saved us, will continue to empower us to live a better life. How many of y'all are ready to live a better life? I am. The only way I can live a better life is listen to what Jesus is doing versus what I want to do. How many of y'all find sometimes you don't want to do what Jesus wants to do? I'm like, wait, look here, check this out, guys. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. How many of y'all glad to know you've been raised? How many of y'all been glad to know? I mean, you're raised. Now, if I'm raised, what does that mean? New possibilities are in motion in my life. How many of y'all believe that? If I am raised with Christ, I'm raised up, I'm raised forward, I'm repositioned. If you will, I'm remixed. With the grace of God in my life, how many of y'all understand that's a new possibility type of living? So here's what that does for me. Don't tell me what you can't do. Begin to discover what Christ can do through you. What would happen in that kind of mentality? Because I want to show you part of salvation is mentality remix. I'm no longer going to think just like I am because I don't know about you. I have limited thinking. What about you guys? You got limited thinking? I can't see everything that is, can you? Mm-mm. My wife can't even see everything there is, although sometimes she perceives that she might be able to. She can't. She's limited. I'm limited. But hold on. In Christ, I don't know about y'all. This excites me. In Christ, in who? In who? Nothing's limited. So here's what blows me away. Nobody's seen the Church of Jesus Christ unleashed because most of us want to live in our own hearts, in our own thinking, instead of flipping the switch that Colossians says, wait a minute, since then. Since Jesus has come into my what? Life. I'm not what I used to be. And let me show you the two things that are going to change. Since you've been raised with Christ, how many of y'all glad to know you're on this side of the resurrection? You're risen. You're risen. Set your hearts, okay, now what's my heart? I would propose this to you. Your heart is your thinking, your reaction, and your will wove together or braided together. What you feel, what you think, and what you desire pulled together. Now, when that heart is positioned where? Above on the things of God, guess what? You're going to feel like Jesus, you're going to think like Jesus, and you're going to want to act like who? Now, if you thought like Jesus, felt like Jesus, and acted like Jesus, how many of y'all think there would probably be a new week ahead of you? So let's start out. You go on Scottsville Road, somebody pulls out in front of you. What are you going to do? Come on, this is a real church. You can go ahead and scare the guest. Even after being a Sunday morning experience at Hillview Heights Church or whatever church of your choice was, somebody pulls out in front of you, you're late to work, you're liable to show them the international praise and worship symbol. True? Even as believers, I told you all that story before. Some of you have heard it several times. I was behind a big old 1974 LTD right here in Bowling Green, Kentucky. It had a church bumper sticker on the back of it, and then it had a sign. It said, honk if you love Jesus. I said, I love him. So I laid on the horn right behind this 74 LTD, and they sent me an international praise and worship sign out of the driver's side. Now, I don't know if that was a believer or somebody that just brought the believer's car. But I tell you this, don't be putting all that religious paraphernalia on your bumper sticker if you're going to flip people off. That's why you see no cross on my truck. Just in case I get in the flesh. Make sense? back when I used to ride a motorcycle all the time, and I actually wore a full face helmet with and it was real dark and you couldn't see who I was. Y'all wouldn't believe how many of y'all flipped your pastor off and didn't even know it. That's why I did that. And Sheriff, I was really ashamed of you. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Hold on. I don't think like Jesus. That's what I'm trying to tell you. You know what? Somebody pulled out in front of Jesus, guess what he said? They must have been in a hurry. It doesn't rattle Jesus. You know why, Earl? He's kind of like you, Earl. He ain't in a hurry. Earl's never in a hurry. I guess he's figured from here on out, he's living in a bonus. So guess what? I'm not going to be in a what?
In a hurry.
Earl, you've lived more than a few decades. Did being in a hurry ever get you anywhere in life?
No place.
Now, mind of Christ says this. This is the day the Lord has. I'm going to position myself in that. Now, look what he says. Since then, you've been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above. Set your mind, verse 2, on what? Things above. Where Christ is what? Seated. Not on earthly things. Let me give you three practices. We want to be practical today, okay? Let's put them down. If we got to get our minds toward heaven, okay? God's already got you in motion, and so the job is not connection, it's focus. How many of y'all have ever looked through a pair of binoculars? How many of y'all have ever had that experience? Okay. Get them binoculars, and they will bring things closer, but they're still fuzzy till you do what? Focus those binoculars in. Now, how many of y'all need a little more focus on your day? And it starts with this. Every day in the morning, whenever you wake up, whatever your morning is. Now, you may work second shift, third shift, so you have a different morning than everybody else, okay? I've told you this story. Quit picking on people's mornings. I had a deacon in a previous church I pastored, and he called me one morning, about 5:45. He said, "Preacher, I just wanted to let you know when the rest of us get up, we ain't like you preachers." And I said, "Well, Mr. Deacon, thank you so much for that. I love you. God bless you. Bye." Well, Tom, I was out at the hospital. Got back in about 4:00 in the morning. And I thought to myself, "Self, it's time to let the deacon know what time preachers go to bed." So I called Mr. Deacon's house at about 4:05 in the morning. I said, "Mr. Deacon, this here is the preacher. And since you was concerned about my get-up time, I wanted to let you know about my lay-down time. And this is what time preachers go to bed sometime. Love you, brother." You know what? He never called again. But whenever you get up to focus, I mean, the first thing you got to focus on. "God, you have remade me, so let me stay as I have been made." See, if we would live as we are in Christ, it would come out. It would come out. In my opinion, humble but very accurate, we've spent more time in the church trying to create through physical and intellectual structure only what the Holy Spirit can do. And I call the observation, it has not worked because we live in an unchanged world, because we've tried to attack the world with our mind, our intellect, our structure, and our methodology, instead of with the heart that God has through us. God's heart changes the world. So you got to focus every morning. "God, this is your day. I want you to know, God, I want to be in focus with you." Number two. Ask God to help you think in His order and not your understanding. "God, I want to think like you and not like me." How many of y'all need to pray that in the morning? "God, help me think like you. Help me think like you." You know, like you had that little fad, people wore those little bracelets around. You know, "What would Jesus do?" Well, you don't have to wear a bracelet. You have to put in your mind, wait a minute, what's the mind of Christ in this situation? How would God treat so-and-so? When somebody dumps on me, how would Christ what? How would Christ what? What would he say? Say, "Jesus, what would you say here?" He'd probably say something like this. "Well, why you call me good? Jesus said weird things to people. Why do you say such as this? You know what Jesus did? He made people look at who they were instead of the surroundings they were in. Be careful. Know where you're seated. How many of y'all glad to know you're seated at the right hand of God? I mean, that's what the scripture says. Now, here's the good news. I'm a Bible-believing Christian. That's going to unnerve some of you. I know most of my colleagues are what's called partial Bible-believing Christians. They believe all the things in the Bible till it disturbs how they understand the Bible. You're with a pastor that doesn't believe the Bible can be systematically put into a simple formula and God explained. And here's why. If I can explain God in 5 points, 6 points, 7 points, 10 points, that's a pretty simple God. Now, we want a simple God. Why? Because really, Carter, we don't want a God out of this world. We want a God of our understanding. And God says, no, I want to remake your mind to my understanding. So how many of y'all are glad to know that we got a God that goes beyond our thought into his reality? Well, guess what that does? Now, the third point. God, show me what's possible when I think it's not. That's a pretty cool way to live, isn't it? And I would like to encourage you as a church, let's get positioned where Christ says we are, and let's start living according to what he says. All things are possible in who? God. So look what he said. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. How many of y'all glad to know what you used to be is dead? How many of y'all glad about that? Come on, raise your hand if you're glad about that. Now let me show you. I mean, it's dead. That's why we do immersion baptism here. I'm going to tell you why we baptize under the water. Let's say, for example, Don, let's say we were baptizing you, okay? Let's say I put you down and I got on another subject. Started talking to this beautiful congregation here. In a few moments, would you have a problem? What would that problem ultimately be? Let's just pretend I'm real strong and I can keep you down there. What's going to happen in that motion? Yeah, you're going to struggle, but then what's going to happen? You're going to drown. What do we call drowning? Dead! That's why I like immersion baptism. I mean, you ever seen anybody sprinkle themselves to death? I mean, pouring water over your head for a long period of time, that's called torture. I don't want torture. I want what? Death. I want you to understand what's happened. You and I are dead to sin. Not okayed, not credited. Dead. That's good news. I'm going to tell y'all that Steve Ayers, it used to be, is not. That dude died. Thank God. I don't even want to see him. He's awful. He's manipulative. He's cunning. He wants to glorify himself. He wants to figure out how to get ahead, and he doesn't even know what ahead is. But he thinks he needs to get there. And he'll do all those things to do what? To get there. He did, thank God. The new one asked this question. Where is Jesus? What could Jesus do? How is Jesus doing it? Where are we right now in Christ? You see, when you're dead to self, then you can be raised to God's possibilities. So where are you seated? Right hand of who? Jesus Christ. All of us. I love it. You say, well, I don't make a difference. Really? How many of y'all think like this world? Hold on. I got to be confessional to you. I have to watching the news. And y'all have to watching the news. You know, I got a hunch that the news may be slanted. It's got a hunch. I got a hunch that the news may not be accurate just to sell ratings. What do y'all think? I even got a hunch that the news might not even be the news. It's just there to kind of entertain us about earthly things. What do you think? Because you know what I really know? You and I in Christ need to counter the news with the news. And the good news of Christ ought to be louder than the bad news here on earth. Amen? Because really, we got Chicken Little news. How many of y'all turn to the Chicken Little news station? And they spend 30 minutes telling you how everything's going to hell. I mean, that's what they do, don't they? I mean, you turn, this is bad, that's bad, this is bad, that's bad, da 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 da. This isn't going to make it, that isn't going to make it. If you listen to that long enough, what might you be convinced of? You might think you're not going to make it. Because what, that's a lie, isn't it? Because the Bible said you're seated at the right hand of God. If you're seated at the right hand of God, what is going to happen? Come on, some of y'all have been following Christ forever. What is going to happen? You're going to be with Christ, not later, now. But you know what God's hungry for? We need some people going to live like that. Say, brother, I'm sorry that's bad, but let me tell you what's good. Brother, I'm sorry that that's not working, but let me tell you what will. Sister, let me tell you what, I'm sorry that broke apart, but let me show you how God could put that back together. Where are those believers? They're around us, and they're starting to emerge. I want to give you two good news moments I've encountered in the last 3 weeks. I was down in Mayfield, Kentucky. Any of y'all ever been to Mayfield, Kentucky? Let me help you. There is not a brochure anywhere in the world that invites you to Mayfield, Kentucky for a summer vacation. They just don't exist. Coach Sully, you and I had to go there because we had to play Graves County. And we didn't even want to go then. It's Graves County. Do you know what God did? He called an average looking Baptist preacher boy to start a church down there that would love people and bring them to Jesus, that would teach them how to raise their hearts. You know what he had? I love this kid. I love this guy. He had $6,000 and a discount on a copier. The convention wouldn't help him because they're only interested in planting certain types of churches, and his wasn't one of them. He didn't fit their protocol. But he sure did God's. He started a church through Christ in the name of Jesus. He ended up, Bailey, he got a horse barn. 50 acres in a horse barn. Sounds like another church I know in Bowling Green. 50 acres in a horse barn, and they fixed it up like a church. Amen. Seats 350 people legally, 475 people illegally. Man, there was people coming out of that church every which way. They was crazy looking people. They had tattoos. They had long hairs, short hairs. They had multicolored folks in there. They had all kinds of folks. It sounded like another church I know about. That said, y'all come and see what God might do. Then you know what? I got a call. Somerset, Kentucky's busted loose in a revival since April the 11th. Guess where that started? A bunch of high sophisticated seminary theologians got together. No! A young man who was 16 years old heard God said he wanted a revival started in his city. And guess what? It worked because no preachers were involved in it. Because guess what preachers do? They try to outthink God. Guess what 16-year-old kids do who hear from God? They just go. I've seen over 200 kids confess their faith in Christ in the last 2 weeks. Last 2 weeks. You know why? Because of a 16-year-old that had the heart of God. And when you get the heart of God, you'll get the mind of God. And so, guys, I'm going to tell you right now, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I think that means this. I want the heart of God overriding my kind of thinking. And when it starts overriding, guess what? God starts flowing. And guess what? The world starts getting blessed. And everything gets different. And that's in all of our lives. Amen? And here's why I want you to rest on this. Verse 4. When Christ appears, who is your life appears, you also will appear with him in glory. So I think this is the way. If I can kind of give you a feel for this. Any of y'all like going to Florida in here? Anybody like going to Florida? Anybody like going to Florida in the winter when it's cold here? If we had a cold, nasty winter, right in the middle of winter, you get to go to Florida. Anybody had that? How many of y'all have ever started like acting like you were in Florida while it was still cold here? You know, like you walk out to your mailbox with flip-flops on in the snow, okay? Why? You're not living where you are. You're living where? Why don't we do that, Christ? You see, we need to start living a little bit of heaven on our way to heaven. We ought to be pointing that direction. Now, I'm not talking about live with your head so far up in the sky you can't see the earth. But I'm talking about know the reality. God has permanently positioned us. Let's live toward our position. Does that make sense? Seated at the what? Right hand of God. But I just wanted to let you know, God's not finished. He loves us. This morning, we've already seen people come to Christ and get saved. Hallelujah. God has not let go and will not let go. He's not done with the city. He's not done with the state. He's not done with the nation. But I tell you what he does need. God needs us to wake up
live out his heart, think like his reality. And guess what? I don't believe we're limited. Thank y'all for being here today. Thank you for listening to some truth today. How many of y'all think you can get a little more heart of God going on this week and a little more thought of God going on this week? Simple message today, man. Yeah, give him praise. God wrote it. And so I just really do love you guys, man. Y'all are doing a great job. I got one more challenge for you. I know y'all, I'm always pushing. People tell me, you're always pushing. Yeah, I know the world's going to hell. If the world wasn't going to hell, I'd chill out. Would you all will agree with me? The world is going to hell. Would you? Have y'all noticed? I mean, just people doing crazy things I'd never seen before. And I was crazy. Man, if I'd have been like a real straight-laced preacher, I'd just be going crazy. I mean, I'd be having a meltdown right now. I mean, I know what goes on. I helped a little bit before I got saved. You know what I mean? How many of y'all have helped the world to go to hell just a little bit along the way? Yeah, me too. And so I'm glad to be on this side of the fence. I'm glad to be redeemed. I'm glad that God's repositioned. I'm glad you're seated. And every one of you in this room, man, can do something great. And I'm not giving you hype. I'm giving you biblical reality. God says, I've saved you. I've remade you. If you will, let's use this term. I've remixed you. You know, a remix. I've taken your old song and made it my new song, Jim. You know what I'm talking about. You ain't got to sing the 70s anymore. We'll put a new beat to it. Okay. But I've not changed my heart. And God's heart is people get saved. And I thank you for being at Hillview. And I know you hear that every Sunday. And I thank you all for not becoming spiritual sophisticates that think there's something more than that. I'm going to tell you right now. When it comes time to die, you'll be glad you had a pastoral staff that was old-fashioned and believed in the cross and the resurrection and the empty tomb and preached grace, grace, grace. You'll be glad of that when it comes time to die. I guarantee you, when it comes time to die, you're not going to quote your favorite theological book. You're not going to ask me if I listened to Beth Moore or Marty Moore. You're going to say, do you know Jesus? Do you know anything more important than that? God's not going to ask you how many cigarettes you smoked. If you smoked a lot of them, that's probably why you'll be dying. But he's going to ask him, do you know me? Do you know that I died so that you could be forgiven? Do you know that I live, and do you know that I'm in you? So when it comes time for us to take our last breath here, we don't have to take a last breath. I don't know about you, but I don't know anything better than that. And I have a lot of colleagues that try to tell me, well, it's really about this. It's about maturity. It's about that. I said, how can you mature that is not converted? You know what I mean? You got to go to the gym before you can get in shape. Some of y'all are trying to read yourself spiritual. It's kind of like reading Shape Magazine. Or reading Muscle and Fitness. I never looked like one of them guys. I made myself look like that on a computer one time. You know, that's a lot of work. How many of y'all found it's easier to read than do? Tammy, thanks for being here today. Thanks for bringing Doug and the rest of the clan. Man, you ran a marathon. You know why I can't run a marathon? Because I won't run to the end of the driveway. You say, well, you could run a marathon. That's right. But what am I going to have to do to run a marathon, Brooks? First of all, God's going to have to change my mind. Because see, when I think about a marathon, I said, Lord, I want to praise you for motorcycles. I want to praise you for motors. Lord, I want to thank you for the combustible engine. Lord, I want to thank you for automobiles and pickup trucks. Lord, I want to thank you for V8 engines, not battery-powered ones, V8s. Lord, I want to thank you for things that go fast so I no longer have to run. That's what I get to think. I'd have to change my thinking. I'd have to think it's a good idea to run 26.2 miles? Wow, that's like from here to Franklin. Then I'd ask myself this question, why would anybody want to go to Franklin? See, you can talk, hold on. You can think yourself out of things. But hold on. This is what's so neat. Hearts change minds, and your thoughts get thinking toward heaven. If God told me to run, guess what I'd do? Run. I would say this on my way, though. If the Lord said, Ayers, you need to run. I'd say, hey, listen, you know, Lord, I've not eaten what you've asked me to eat. Lord, about mile number 5. Some of them Big Macs are going to start talking to me. Lord, cover this heart. And wherever it may be blocked, unblock it about mile number 10. But if he told me to run, I'd trust him to come through with the run. Amen. We can trust God. And so today I want to open up this invitation. If you've never received Jesus Christ, I want you to know that Hillview Heights Church, one of the reasons we exist Sunday, Wednesday, every day of the week, is so that you might know Christ crucified and resurrected. And here's what we simply believe. We believe that Jesus Christ is truly the Son of God. He was not made up. He's not a myth. We believe that if you ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sin, God will do exactly what he said he was going to do, and he'll forgive you of all sin. And now you will be connected to a new way of thinking and feeling. Your heart will be changed, who you are, and your thoughts will be changed, and you'll live a new life. We invite you today to that relationship. We thank God for these people that were baptized. People like little Maddie who stood up and testified to you guys that, listen, Jesus is my Lord. Did you hear her confession? Maddie, did you know you? Yes, sir. Here's the part I like. Do you know Jesus forgiving you of all? Yes, sir. You want to change your life? Yes, Lord. I believe you've forgiven me. I believe you are who you say you are. And I believe you'll be there just like you said you'd be. Amen? So if you've never done that, let's get that done. If you've never been baptized, we're going to like super. You need to do that. It's an act of obedience. Now, come on, I'm going to help you all with obedience. I'm going to use the sheriff as an example today. Sheriff, think back. Have you ever done on a Saturday what Marilyn asked you to do? Now, was that a better Saturday than the one when you didn't do what she asked you to do? Now, Sheriff, Sheriff, that's not true. Obedience helps you in what? Blessing. This is why baptism is important. That's why I want to explain it to folk. It's an act of a confessional obedience. For those of you that grew up under the lie that baptism had something to do with church membership, that's a lie out of hell. That's a lie out of hell. A group of Western Kentucky people made that up and sent it over to Eastern Kentucky because they were fighting Church Christ people that thought they were the only ones going to heaven. So we had all these people argue over the only ones who are going to heaven. I want to clear that up in case you've been in all that mess. Here's who's going to heaven. Those who've received Jesus Christ. Here's who's not going to heaven. Those who've rejected him. There it is. Organs, pianos, hymnals, translations of the Bible, different types of preaching. Whether you do three flips on the altar or one back flip on the altar, whether you come at all, this has nothing to do with salvation. It's time to get biblical. This is what happened to do with salvation. Do you know Jesus Christ wants to come into your life and forgive you of your sins? Yes, I hope. Have you asked him, Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me? Let me tell you the truth. Thank God. I'm a blessed man. I've seen some crazy things already. I've never seen God reject a human being confessing. I haven't personally. I've never heard anybody pray a prayer confession, Peggy, and all of a sudden they get up and say, well, Pastor, God said I wasn't on the list. I've never heard that. Now, apparently some of my colleagues have, but I've never heard that, and I'm old. I've never heard a man or a woman that say, Lord Jesus, forgive me, have mercy on me. Guess what he tends to do? He has mercy on them. Now, I've seen these people walk away from God. They say, well, I'm going to save myself. Well, good luck. You can't save yourself. My friends, you cannot save yourself. And so I'm just telling you my heart today. It's the most important message I know. I know I say it Sunday after Sunday, but that's what the Apostle Paul preached, and it worked out pretty good for him. He, like, changed the whole world with it. And I know it's not fancy and cool and it doesn't fit in today's times and you can't write books about it and sell CDs with it. And maybe that's all hyped up and not of God anyway. You know, I got a serious question. We've been doing all this hullabaloo for about 50 years. Then why's the world so bad? This question's Ayers has in his mind. If this stuff worked, then why ain't anybody getting better? These are the questions I've asked throughout my life. Let me tell you something that works. Lord Jesus, save me. Lord Jesus, change my heart. Lord Jesus, change my mind. Jamie, it still works, don't it?
Sure does.
Sure does. Well, let's pray. Lord Jesus, lead us to the throne of grace. Give us life. Give us truth. Give us newness. Let's stand together right now, okay? Let's stand together right now. If you know you need to receive Christ right now, I want you to come to this altar and receive Him. Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me my sin. If you've never been baptized, let's get that taken care of. Now, I got one other thing today. Would you all please tell somebody? I'm going to ask every one of you, listen, it's this important. Those of you who follow Christ, you got friends, man. I'm just going to ask you, take this summer, tell one person before we get to the end of August, okay? And they're going to love you. And you say, what if they say no to Jesus? They said no to Jesus. Now let's flip that question. What if they say yes? There's somebody else who's living in the Lord. Amen? All right, this altar's open. You come right now, guys. Come on, let's not waste a lot of time because God's wanting to save a whole lot of folks. Come and pray for people. Come and be healed. This altar's open right now in the name of Christ. Come on. Come on.